A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our number two, back to the big boy, Greg Bedard, alongside Big Jim Murray and Adam Jones. That's the show today. Your phones, as promised, Soapy and Merrimack. Go ahead, Soapy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Quick question. So how concerned are you with Mac Jones' arm strength? And do the Patriots easily have the two weakest arms out of any quarterback room in the league?
Okay, it's a fair question.
I don't have an issue with Cam Newton's arm. Cam Newton's arm is fine. I mean, he can throw the ball when he gets set and actually uses proper mechanics, which is about half the time. Mac Jones' arm strength, it's good enough. Do I wish it was better? Yeah. Do I wish that Mac Jones had the chance to just get stronger and in general and his arm and sort of hit the ground running next year? Yeah, but I don't think the Patriots have time for that. I don't have an issue with his arm. And the thing that I think people miss with passers sort of like Mac Jones is that their mind, their anticipation allows their arms to be better, that they're throwing quicker. They're throwing when guys come open. He does all of those things. And, you know, is he going to rip the ball from one hash to the sideline on a rope? No, but as long as he makes the right reads and gets the ball to the right players, to me, that's more important.
And I agree. Generally speaking, I think that line that is made and is said all the time, he can make all the throws, I think is so overrated, it's not even funny. I mean, that yep. thing you're talking about, being on one hash, ripping it to the sideline on the far hash for a 17-yard gain on an out, how many times do you need that play? You know, and to me, it's far more important for him to hit the outside shoulder to the running back flaring out of the backfield mm-hmm. consistently so he can gain yards after the catch than he is making that throw you just talked about.
But Jones. Like that throw that he had to Christian Wilkerson in the last game up the right seam where basically like Wilkerson turned around and Mac Jones led him to the outside a little. He basically like threw him open. Like that was an outstanding throw that you do not see from, well, Burrows you would probably see that from as a rookie. But that sort of to throw the ball into that window to lead him there where really that was the only place the ball could be completed was an outstanding throw.
I've heard you question his arm strength, right?
Well, no, I just think of the five guys. He's got the smallest arm. But I'm okay with it. I'm just, I'm trying to parse the two, tell it like it is. He doesn't have a big arm, and the other guys have bigger arms. Now, next chapter, I'm okay with that. I don't need the biggest armed quarterback, but just realize you don't got one of these guys who's got a howitzer out there, nor a guy who's particularly big or mobile. That's my only point. Bill,
I'll also say that in his defense that, look, Brady was a work in progress with his arm strength. His whole career, Brady did not rip the ball as a rookie or even his second year. You know, he got to about the midpoint of his career where he could really throw the ball. He still throws the ball really well. But if you compare his miles per hour now compared to when he was gotten in the league, I think it's night and day.
Max in the car. Go ahead, Mac.
Yeah, so, Bedard, what up, big dog? Two things.
What up?
I believe my man Jones yesterday was talking about system arrogance. If anybody ever wants to show up, Belichick, this is the year for Bruce Arians to not play Tom Brady in that game. We don't have nothing to face y'all for. Y'all can see Kyle Trask and all the weapons the Buccaneers got, and they'll still probably see you. You know that.
Okay, so now all of a sudden the Pats are taking the first month off, and Arians is going to play Kyle Trask in week four here in July. Can we?
That's the kind of call that makes you say, like, why do we do this?
Yeah, seriously. can we have some fun? Can we care about week one, and can we care about week four, and can everyone try and win that game and it be important?
How about this? Can we have a mature discussion about this? Like, you're not going to boil this down to, yeah, I think you're going to keep saying throughout, as soon as I leave at 4 o'clock, for the next hour, you guys are going to rag on me and be like, well, Bedard says they could take the first week. Like, let's be mature. That's not what I'm talking about. So let's not boil it down to that. I'm talking about the way Bill Belichick looks at things, which is a slow boil. I don't think he's overly concerned. I think he thinks, all right, at the least, I got Cam Newton with a defense, with a running game. We can win games that way, and then we see what happens with the passing offense. And Greg, if I don't think it's going in the right direction, then I go over to Mac.
Okay, we're doing that at 5, not 4, okay?
Yeah, and, well, I'm trying to head off the pad because I know what happens.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. I've been saying from day one Cam Newton's going to start the year for that exact same reason. We are in total agreement. Where I break from you is when you say week one is some sort of artificial fake drama talk radio deadline.
The crown season opening starter is bullcrap, Felger. It's bullcrap. So that means it's artificial. It doesn't matter. Why does it matter? If Mac Jones takes over the team in week six and goes 10-1, who cares who started the opening game?
What if they started 0-5? You know, like, I don't know. Those games don't matter. Those games matter.
Jones,
of course they matter.
Just stop.
Look, in the last decade plus, teams that start 0-2, like 12% of them end up making the playoffs.
They matter less. I mean, I'll grant you that. They matter less. Just don't say it's like a fake deadline. It's the season.
The crown of being the season opening quarterback is artificial. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, if they start 0-2, yeah, that's a problem. If they start 0-5, obviously, Jones.
Yeah, well, if they miss the playoffs.
Like, we're not idiots. You think Bill's going to just go with Cam and go 0-5? No, he's going to pull the cord. He's going to go with the kid. They've started 1-2 before.
Don't you agree he should go with the kid right now?
Absolutely.
So why isn't he? That sounds dumb. That sounds like he might do something dumb.
Because he's Bill Belichick.
When they're 0-2. That sounds dumb to me.
That's great, Jones, but he's Bill Belichick, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what I'm going to do.
Maybe.
Doesn't matter what you want to do.
No, it doesn't matter. Maybe he should put a little more import on week one is all I'm saying. That's all.
So how about this? So it's
It's open for the second guess. If they come up one game short, two games short, absolutely.
It's a first
but
guess.
Bill's going to do what Bill's going to do.
And could this potentially bite him in the ass in this way, Greg? So it's obvious to you guys that are all down there and everyone following the team in these practices that Mac's the better quarterback. So it's got to be the same for his teammates that are playing with him. So have you picked up on anything from any of them that they prefer Mac to Cam? And maybe that could become problematic for Belichick if he sticks with Cam Newton.
I think when you watch Mac Jones on the practice field and on the sideline during the game, I think that there is a difference, at least among the wide receivers and some of the offensive linemen, that I think they do prefer Mac Jones. Now, that being said, I think that their faith in Bill Belichick, deservedly so, trumps all. But I do think that if they struggle, if teams shut down the run, and I think one of the problems I have with starting Cam Newton to start the season is I think Bill and Josh McDaniels are overrating Cam's legs. And I was talking to there was a prominent national reporter at the Eagles practices, and I sampled some of the national guys who are around, guys who I trust, guys who know what they're looking at when they watch a practice. And I asked him about Jones and Newton and what he thought. And first of all, he said, I don't think you have a quarterback between them. And secondly, he said, well, at least Cam gives you some options with his legs. And I just think that's false.
Me too.
I think that if, you know, Bill talked about a clean slate, and you guys have talked about it, that I think he meant that, all right, we're leaving. Cam has a clean slate. But I don't think you can do that with him. I don't think that you can look at game one out of context from what happened last year, because it looked the same. And the other thing is, his legs in the second half of the season were not effective. Is he in better shape this year? Yeah. But when I see him on the field, do I see somebody who's electric, who's going to bowl over guys, who's going to make plays with his legs? I don't. I see an aging quarterback, an aging athletic quarterback, and that oftentimes is the most dangerous thing.
Bob in New Hampshire, what do you got for Greg Bedard? Bob in New Hampshire, I said, what do you got for Greg Bedard?
So first of all, great show. Thank you, gentlemen. And for Greg, the first five, six, seven games of the season, he does play for the long. He's a genius about setting up a season for the big games at the end of the year. However, he doesn't have Brady to rely on.
Correct.
And that is huge.
So, I mean, again, I mean,
Bob, he's not wrong. I mean, look, and I was even thinking in my head, he's like, Bill Belichick is a genius when it comes to the long haul. And I just wanted to say with Tom Brady, because that's all we know. I mean, look, I can sit here and tell you that this is the way he looks at things. And just look at historically how he did things. Yeah, and Jones is absolutely right,
Greg,
to bring up Brady.
Parcells did the same thing. Parcells was very much like that. That was the, you know, the 96 team started off slow. I mean, there's a bunch of examples. So, I mean, I think that goes back to the Parcells thing. I think you're absolutely right, which is, again, why I'm in total agreement, why I think they're starting Newton and they're bringing it's really not a competition. This is all in Bill's mind to bring Mac Jones along on the side. And when he's ready, he's ready. If that means the middle of the year, that means the middle of the year. I think it gets complicated if you're 6-1. You know, never mind 0-5. What if you're winning? What if you're winning and Newton's taking care of the ball and you're winning on defense and with ball control? Is Bill going to change quarterbacks?
No, he's not. But I think this is the way I see things playing out, Mike. I think that Cam Newton starts the season. I think that they play winning football. I don't know what that means early on in the season. They have a pretty soft open to the season. They play winning football. But at some point in time, it becomes apparent to everybody watching that the passing game is stagnant. It's not good enough. It's not going to be good enough to win the big games down the stretch. And I think at that point in time, and I can't tell you what the one loss record is going to be, but at that point in time, I think Bill's going to make a decision and I think everyone's going to be on board. I think it's going to be apparent to everybody on the team that, all right, Cam sort of run his course, but Mac has a chance to take us to the next level. These guys are practicing with him. They're going to see him in practice. They're going to see all those things. And I think that Bill looks at it as he can't really lose if Cam starts the season and plays okay, because either Cam plays winning football and the team's fine and Mac gets his red shirt year, which he probably needs physically, or Cam Newton plays himself out of the job and makes it easy to go to Mac.
Right. So I agree. I think Bill probably says it's going to happen organically. And maybe there's an injury. Maybe there's a COVID. Maybe the performance is just so obvious. Yep. Even if they're winning, the performance or something that's It's just going to happen because it usually does. And that wouldn't surprise me if Bill's treating it that way either. All right, big boy, it's time for 10 questions. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay. We've had some problems with this in the past. As Bill said, everyone starts with a clean slate. So we're going to make another run at this.
Good.
And we'll do it next. Jones, put a sock in it right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, Sports Hub app.
Hey, Boston. Cannabis delivery is here from LanternNow.com. Getting cannabis in Boston has always been a hassle, but Lantern has changed the game. I can now get my cannabis discreetly delivered right to my door the same day I place my order. Lantern has made it super easy to find exactly the products that I want. I can browse multiple dispensaries at once and count on my order to be delivered same day. So whether I'm unwinding after work or going out for the night, Lantern is just what I'm looking for. So skip the rush hour traffic and get your cannabis delivered today by visiting LanternNow.com/Gym. That's lanternnow.com/gym.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the poison control hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry liar.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, this is back. 10 questions with the big boy, Greg Bedard. We originally started with Wiggy, which is why we play the Love Boat Captain. Just look that up if you want. And it's simple. It's 10 questions around the league with Greg in a rapid-fire fashion, except Greg has been so immersed with the Patriots in training camp that we decided not to do many league questions because, again, Greg is just, he's so hyper-focused on the Pats that it may not be the best time just to go around the league. So we'll save that for a little later in the year, and we'll try and make it more Patriots-focused. But either way, 10 questions, 10 minutes. We have to stay on time. We have buzzer options. What are they, Jimmy?
They say he's not too great at center, but he's probably better than whatever we have. You know, our future f***ing blows.
Okay, can't say that. Next.
Man, listen. No.
Frank, you're Pentangeli there.
Late. Oh, so late. So bad throw cam.
Okay, that's Zoe watching cam at practice.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a quarterback.
Oh, was that a dime?
Okay, that's Zoe watching Mac Jones at practice.
This team blows.
It's over. It's over. Throw in the towel.
We'll get to the Red Sox later. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. What a horror. Hang it more, Barnes.
Again, more later.
This guy does not belong in the big leagues.
I hope he's talking about Dalbach. Go ahead.
Pre-game with Beetle and Beetle.
Next. It's not a race to see who gets first. Ugh. The trick is to be there the longest.
There you go.
Thank you. It's a good. Keep that, Jimmy, for all time. Hit it.
Pre-game with Beetle and Beetle.
Okay, number 10, Greg. Did you sense smaller or less interested crowds for training camp, and does that say anything to you about Patriots' interest?
Absolutely smaller and less interested. And what that says to me is that this is not one of those iconic franchises like the Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, who draw any year, doesn't matter how they do. It was more about Tom Brady and the winning, which is fine. I mean, it feels like the Dolphins after Dan Marino watching Jay Fiedler and AJ Feely. Like, you're not exactly pumped up to go watch practice. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, And Boston has a whole lot of things going on compared to other places like Green Bay and Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, it's just not the same as those other
places. Fascinating. All right. We're off and running. Next.
Man, listen. No. No,
man.
Greg, who's the Patriots defensive coordinator?
Bill Belichick. With Steve Belichick making the calls.
Where's Gerard Mayo in all this? Discuss this situation. Is there a dynamic there?
I don't see a dynamic. To me, it looks like it works the same as it has been. Gerard is more supervising the personnel. Steve is making the actual play calls off of a paint-by-numbers play sheet devised by Bill Belichick and the defensive coaching staff going into each game. Do I think there's anything more to that? No, but I will say this. I think that Steve Belichick and Mayo and Bill Belichick under a lot of pressure this year with the defense. I mean, the first year that they were given the keys after Brian Flores won a Super Bowl before he left.
Yeah, he was here in 2018.
They bottomed out. Yeah, they bottomed out down the stretch in 2019. The defense could not carry the team. Last year, they sort of get a pass just because the offense was bad and they didn't have much to work with. Now, all of a sudden, they bring in Judon. They bring back Lawrence Guy. They get him a nose tackle. Hightower's back. Blah, blah, blah. If this defense doesn't produce, if they're not good, if they don't carry this team in the early going, then there should be pressure on the defensive brain trust.
Greg, quick side question with this. If the defense is good, which of those two gets a head coaching job first, or Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, can I just refer? Is there awkwardness in that it feels like Gerard Mayo is ahead of Steve Belichick for head coaching jobs? He interviewed last year, yet he's not the one making the play calls. But, you know, along the same lines as Jim's question there.
I think that Mayo gets the first shot. I don't know how much Steve Belichick is on people's radar. I haven't actually given that a whole lot of thought. I will. I do think that Mayo, look, when people are looking for head coaches, they're looking for leaders of organizations of somebody who's going to affect change in the culture. And I think that Gerard Mayo fits in with some of those people who have done that in recent years more than, say, Steve Belichick does.
Okay, quickly, let's rifle through the rest of them. Go.
Late! Oh, so late! So bad throw cam. Okay.
So what's Matt Patricia been doing?
He's basically Bill's caddy down there.
Dipping fried food in ranch dressing.
He goes wherever Bill goes. And look, I'll say this. He certainly carries himself like he's a big to-do down there. I don't exactly know what he does, but he definitely looks supervisory and like he's getting stuff done. I don't know if he actually is, but that's how he looks.
Okay, number seven.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was a quarterback.
Was out of time.
Okay, after watching the Eagles the last few days, what do you think of them? Are they going to be any good? Do you think Jalen Hurts can play?
I think they're going to be better than people think. I have some issues with their offensive line. I think their secondary is not that great. But I was very impressed by Jalen Hurts. Now, that could be the Patriots just stinking up the joint. I don't know. But he looked great out there, and he threw the ball a lot better than I ever thought that he would. He looked great out there. He looked like a blend between Lamar Jackson and, like, you know, I don't even know who. I don't want to say Mahomes, but that sort of, he could throw the ball. He could throw the ball better than Lamar Jackson. I'll say that.
Next.
This team blows.
It's over. It's over. Throw in the towel.
Assess the future of Chase Winovich, please.
I just don't see where he plays. Outside of a handful of plays in sub-packages as a rusher, I don't see how he gets on the field with Judon and Van Noy and Uche and Ronnie Perkins. I don't know. He just, with each passing year, he looks more and more just sort of like a misfit for the scheme and the team. Like, he needs to go someplace where he could just run around and make plays and be a personality. That just, none of that fits in New England.
Does he make the team?
It depends on injuries. I think they try to trade him, but, you know, if Ronnie Perkins or somebody gets dinged up, then...
Isn't he already?
He's in. Yeah, Perkins got dinged up yesterday at practice, but, I mean, look, they have, what, 25 days until the season opener, so who knows?
Okay, next.
This guy does not belong in the big leagues.
Who's been the biggest tool bag? First tool bag question of the year. Who's been the biggest tool bag of Patriots training camp?
Well, you know I can't answer that about a player or a coach or anything like that, but so I'm just going to go with you guys for your camp coverage.
Okay. He put those in air quotes if you're not watching on the simulcast. We'll circle back.
Feels like that was Patricia was the real answer.
Yeah,
there.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We will circle back to Greg's grievances with Felger and Maz in a little bit, but next.
Pre-game with Beetle and Beetle.
Is the new preseason schedule, Greg, 3 games versus 4, good or bad for the overall product?
I don't think it matters because we saw last year that no preseason led to just fine football. I mean, was it great football? No, but it was a good season overall with no fans in the stands. But me, I like a few. I think 3 is a good number. I like having the games, and they're almost like organized scrimmages at good points during camp. I like it.
Okay, next.
Man, listen. No.
Okay, Cam, how do we feel about the NFL's efforts to make sure players get vaccinated? Are they doing enough? Should they do more? Forfeits, should they be on the table for teams who don't have sufficient vaccination levels?
This isn't political. It's scientific. I'm all for the NFL as a private company making it mandatory. And if a player doesn't like it, a coach doesn't like it, you can go play football someplace else.
Period, paragraph, next.
Oh, my God, what a horror. Hang it more, Barnes.
Again, more Red Sox coverage coming up here in a second. Will you guys, meaning reporters, Greg, ever be let back in the locker room? Will Bill go back to fully live pressers? Is any of that coming this year? And does it matter to the consumer?
I think at some point it might take a year or two for us to be back in locker rooms. I don't know about post-game. They might, and I'm afraid they might develop like the Olympic and soccer sort of format for how they do things. Which is
what?
Pretty crappy.
Which is what?
Which is just basically like they're at a podium, like off the field, take a bunch of questions, stand and deliver, that sort of thing. You know, I actually just got to ask questions the other day for the first time in person because it's a long story about testing and stuff like that. But, you know, and Curran and I sort of tag team Cam Newton on starting player question. And, you know, I was able to ask Mac Jones about whether he, you know, of course he didn't answer it, about whether he has a goal of being the opening day starter. I do think it's important. It depends on what kind of fan you are, whether you care or not. I mean, if you think the team does no wrong and you just want to hear how great they are, you don't care what the media does. But if you're a true fan and you want to know what's honestly going on with your team, the good, the bad, the ugly, then you want reporters in the locker room where not every interview is with 50 people and where we have relationships with the players and we can get this, the inside information on what's going on with the team.
And the live,
if you don't care about any of that stuff, then you don't want us.
So I'm with you, Greg. You know how I feel about that. And the live Belichick presser, I think on Zoom they can control the questions more than, you know, in a live setting, where in the live setting there's going to be someone who, you know, some of the beat guys look down on, you know, the Byron Barnetts or the kid from Rhode Island, you know, who gets obnoxious. But at least that will, you know, you don't get that in the Zoom setting. You know, and I, Bill has only been asked about his starting quarterback, I think, once in the 3 weeks here, or maybe twice. And it's like, if that was every day, daily, with the media, you know, in the stands there, firing off questions, I think that would be a daily question. But he's only gotten it once or twice, which is crazy. Which, I'm sorry, that is not good for the consumer.
I'm Byron Barnett.
Yeah, whether you want to believe that or not. All right, last one.
Real quick, I just want to say, like, the other day, like, I for the most part, I don't have a problem with the way the Patriots have handled things, and I think their media relations department has done a great job the past couple of years, given the circumstances. But, you know, we all spent money to go to Philly the other day, and the only time we got Bill Belichick was 8 a.m., on a Zoom before 10 a.m. practice, not at the field before the game, before the practice, on Zoom 2 hours before practice. Like, that's just wrong. He should be on the field answering questions at about 9:30, right before practice starts, so we do get that in-person interaction.
Okay, I'm with you, big boy. Last one. It's not a race to see who gets there first. The trick is to be there the longest. Did you write that down, Murray?
Yes, you sure did.
Last one. Of all the celebrity guests they've had at training camp over the years, whether it be, whether it be hosted by Bill and or Robert, when that could be entertainers or former athletes or former Patriots, of all the fancy people they bring down there over the years, who would you be most interested in having a beer with, Greg? Any of them?
Giselle, because she would spill the tea on everything.
Oh, it's so true.
And I want to know everything.
So true. Make it a rosé or something like that and go. Absolutely. That's a great one, Giselle. She would. Mm-hmm. She would air.
Especially now?
Air the laundry. Absolutely. That's a great one. All right. Thus concludes 10 questions. No blood in the water. How about that? Phones right after Big Jim Murray's update.
We've got baseball, golf, racing, and so much more. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is here to put you in the center of the action with millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs all week long. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code SPORTSHUB for a limited time. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Enter code SPORTSHUB to get this free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit. That's code SPORTSHUB only at DraftKings. Make it rain.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Give it a subscription. Nathan in Dartmouth joins us next. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, I think what Bill has to do for the week two of the preseason is he should have Cam start the first half of the whole game, and then he has Mac Jones go through the whole second half just to see who's better in a game situation.
Okay, Nathan, I don't know if I love that analysis. I do want to ask you, Greg, about the two quarterback thing, and was there a little snippet of it yesterday with Mac Jones down at the goal line and Cam Newton coming in for one play and then coming off and even putting his palms in the air? Like, what was that? What was that?
Yeah, it happened. I don't know the reason for it. I don't know why they did it. It could have been because some of the chirping from the Eagles, and there was the strong safety, Kevon Wallace or whatever his name is. He was chirping Newton throughout that practice. During the 7-on-7, specifically down on the goal line, he was basically yelling out. He was like, I didn't know it was specific to Cam. I thought it was just the Patriots in general. He yelled out like they were the check down kings.
Yeah, check down kings.
That's basically what they did for the two practices, was throw a lot of checkdowns. And Cam heard them, and at first Cam said, it's okay. And then there was a play where I think Cam was off to the side. Mac was on the field, and Mac threw it right. Mac held onto the ball, ran around, made a play, wide open, and Cam said, that was you, 42. That was you. Okay. Is that what you wanted? Oh, right. And it just kept going back and forth.
Is there a chance they do a two-quarterback thing in any way, shape, or form?
I have a hard time seeing that. I don't see how it's fair to either quarterback to do that. I don't know how it makes sense. So wait a minute. Were the Patriots all that good in goal-to-goal situations with Cam Newton in center, under center in the red zone?
No.
Seems to me like they had some issues with some of the runs that they called down there, specifically against Seattle. I don't know why. I don't see where it works. I don't understand where it works. Do you play Max starts out the drive and then Cam is the red zone quarterback or vice versa? Like, I don't get it. I don't see where, outside of Cam just being, say, third and short or short yardage being the quarterback because you have a dual threat, I don't see where it makes any sense football-wise.
Patrick in Connecticut. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, fellas, do you think maybe Bill's just trying to avoid the apples-to-apples comparison between number 10 and number 12?
So, Patrick, this is why, you know, I wonder if the Brady game changes the dynamic of Bill and, you know, we'll treat it like an extended training camp and it only matters when you get to the middle of the year, and I totally agree that that's how he manages it, Greg. Does that Buccaneer game on Sunday night change the calculus? I mean, that's a big one, and it's not just talk radio drama. There's gonna be a lot of attention on that. There's gonna be a lot of pressure on the players. They're gonna see it. They're gonna feel it. I mean, how does he treat that week, and does that change the conversation?
Trust me, Felger. There's nobody knows better than, you know, me and whoever was on the Packers and the Vikings, like what that game is gonna mean. I mean, I covered Brett Favre coming back to Lambeau Field as a Minnesota Viking twice. And it's unlike any game you'll ever be a part of. It's different. I don't want to say it's Super Bowl level, but it's going to be something else. And I don't think people are really prepared for not only how the players are going to feel, but the fans in the stands. Like, it's going to be something else.
Do you think Bill should protect Mac Jones from that game?
I don't. Wow. I think Mac Jones is equipped to handle anything as far as emotions, the mechanics of a football game. Now, do I think he's ready physically to last a whole season in the NFL, a 17-game season plus playoffs? Probably, but I don't know that. I will say that, you know, and I think I heard you guys talk in the offseason about this as sort of an offshoot, but about whether this is the right team for Mac and blah, blah, blah. I think this team is built perfectly for a rookie quarterback in terms of the you have a great offensive line. You have a couple tight ends. You can leave them in the block. You have experienced running backs that can help in protection. You know, it sets up for play action, which helps get guys open a little bit quicker. I think if you drew up an offense and personnel, provided it all works out and guys get on the field, this is the offense that you draw and the defense keep games close. I think this sets up perfectly for Mac.
Okay. I mean, the Brady game is different. I mean, you know, there's an intangible quality to that game that makes it different beyond just how you line up. Go ahead.
Absolutely. But I think that the Patriots are going to have, just like they do, not just for every game, but specifically that game, I'm sure they already have the game plan drawn up for that game. I mean, the Tampa's, there's no changes in what they're doing from last year. I'm sure it's already locked in. It just depends on who the quarterback is, and it's going to be, you know, very conservative, play close to the vest. We all know how Patriots play in those type of games. And, you know, just don't make mistakes. Hope that they make a mistake. Hope to pressure Brady. Use some of your intel on Brady to get him a little spooked in the pocket, get him sped up, and help him. He makes a couple mistakes. Hope that the Bucs are a little bit over-aggressive on defense. You can hit him with a couple big plays. I think the game plan is in the barn for that, and I think that Mac Jones could operate that game plan, even if the game is different and than any other that he'll ever play.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. I think Greg is going to air some grievances against Felger and Maz, so that comes your way next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console, from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? Let them know and they'll try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in, because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling section will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You were working with New England there for a while. You got little birdies in there. You were high, relatively high, on Jarrett Stidham, rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
How do you think he compares in that building to Jarrett Stidham?
It's Cam Newton or Mac Jones, period. They have taken over the team. And I think Mac has a way stronger presence than... I think like Belichick and Josh McDaniels knew about his presence, but mm-hmm. I think the whole team is a little bit like, damn. This guy's a little bit like Cam. He's just a f***ing man. Everybody thinks he's the man.
Well, that was Cam's big selling point, right?
Right, and you hear Cam. Cam's waxing poetically about Mac Jones and this stuff, that he's cool, and he's in the locker room saying lyrics to rap songs and funny jokes.
He sounds like a guy that you root for, right? It was the case in Alabama, right? People that got to know him, they rooted for him.
Right, no doubt, you know, and I just think, you know, and then Cam sees him doing all the little things. He works hard, you know.
You think he really beats out Cam week one?
No, I don't. I think Mac Jones will make it very close. I think they'll feel very comfortable to go, man, if we got to play him this year, we'll be okay. But I think, one, you know, they're always a little reluctant to play young guys. Two, what I come back to, I think, with more than New England than anything is, I just have a hard, I think Bill and Josh are going to maximize what this team is about. And to me, still, this team is not ready to go, oh, let's spread it out and throw Mac Jones and go back to Tom Brady football, right? Yeah. They're not there yet.
Before we get to the grievances, Greg, your thoughts on all that analysis from Chris Sims yesterday, soup to nuts.
I think Sims is spot on with a lot of things. Other than I will take issue with, and I understand his point about the last point that he made about Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, you know, about how this team isn't ready to do X, Y, and Z. I don't think Mac Jones is ready to do X, Y, and Z. But I think in terms of like shotgun spread, let's do this, let's throw the ball over the field. I don't think that's Mac Jones's game. I think that when you look at this team and how they're built, I think that Mac Jones with a run-based team, and that's what he's getting at, with a run-based team, I still think Mac Jones in the pocket is better than Cam Newton, whatever he might bring with his legs, just because of his ability at the line of scrimmage, before the snap, and also play action. Cam Newton, this goes back to even before he got here, I said one of the big things he's going to have to work on as Patriots quarterback is his run fakes. They're bad. They've always been bad. And we've already seen it in the game the other night. You get Mac Jones back there with the right mechanics. All of a sudden now, just like that pass that he threw to Kendrick Bourne, the one that you really liked, Felger. It was bang action. Just typical Patriots base play. Play action, bang action to Kendrick Bourne over the middle. And you see the linebackers come in three steps, and he hits them. And I remember distinctly there were plays last year where Cam Newton did the same thing, and the team just ignored Cam Newton somewhat faking and just dropped back into coverage. That's what I mean by I think that Mac Jones fits what this offense is going to be more than Cam Newton right now and will certainly by the end of the year.
Okay, Greg. We've had a long offseason. We've talked a lot about you. You've probably heard some of it. You have heard some of it. You're not happy with some of it. Please, what are your grievances?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I have two things. One's more a bigger picture. The other one's a little bit more personal. But the big thing is look, I was a fan of this show long before I was on it. And I think this is my eighth year now. I was a fan of this show long before I was on it. You guys, I think I've always considered you guys are very smart. You guys have smart takes. I'm the type of fan because I'm a big Red Sox fan, Bruins fan. I grew up not so much the other teams, but I like being challenged. I like you thinking outside the box about my teams and challenging what my perceptions of these teams. And you know, for better or for worse, and I think for better, like I said, I'm a fan of the show. You guys set the agenda in this town now. You do. And I just think for you guys to sit there during all the offseason practices and in training camp practices and A, not have myself, Perillo, Zolak, Sochi, whoever, as the flagship station, not to actually do actual legwork to to find out what's actually going on in the field and just sitting there and reading the reports from some reporters you don't even know what context they're in. And to run with these and run with storylines, I just think is a little bit irresponsible. I just think that, look, you if you have questions about what's going on at camp, I mean, at least I hear from Matt sometimes. Matt will call me and get background from me. Hey, what's going on? What are you seeing? And he can choose and do what he wants to do with it. You know, and also, you know, here's the other thing. Like, I don't know what your relationship is like with the Patriots, Mike, but you covered this team. You covered multiple quarterbacks for this team. Have you ever seen Mac Jones or Cam Newton throw a pass in person?
No.
Like, I want you to go down to practice.
Oh, come on.
Listen.
Now we're getting silly, Greg. Listen, like, come on.
No.
Let's be reasonable.
Listen.
They forced me to go down there twice.
Yeah, I mean, Murray was down there. The 98.5 Sports Hub perch is way above the field. No one would even know that you're there. Like, me as a consumer, I want you to watch Mac Jones and Cam Newton and tell me what you think. You have experience. You covered this team. You covered the NFL. Right. I want to know what you think. I just think a lot of your conversations just, you know, look, I'm not going to tell you to be better, even though you said that literally about me before. But I just, as a fan of the show, as I, you know, I like you guys. I care about you guys. I care about the show. I just think you guys could do a little bit more as far as
it's so much more fun taking a tweet and twisting it out of context and reading into it. So much better.
See, I'm with Bedard. You should be there starting week 5 when the games actually matter.
What's the second one, Greg? Go personal.
Oh, the other one was, it's just personal between me and you guys. Like, look, you guys talk about my stuff all the time. Okay. And sometimes you hear from me, sometimes you don't. But, you know, as soon as I level some sort of criticism against you guys on my podcast or on my site, the first thing you guys do is shoot the messenger. Like, the stuff 2 weeks ago was ridiculous. That you get on, you're like, oh, well, he has too much time. You know, that like, what I do on my podcast and what I do at the site is I take people through my process. It's not to say that, like, I'm this X or X, Y, or Z. It's that, look, I don't hear a lot of this stuff, so I just heard it the other day, so this is what I'm doing. But you guys, do you just start with the constructive criticism first and just answer it? No. You have to be children and say, oh, well, Bedard's too busy. You know, oh, he has too much to do. Like, can we just have a mature discussion about things instead of being, you know, the real children of the Sports Hub and like schoolyard BS where you're like, oh, that guy's fat. You know, it's like if you guys say something about me, about my coverage, and the first thing I say is, well, Felger wears napkins on Nantucket, or Maz plays too much golf, or Murray gets high all the time. Like, do I do any of that stuff? No.
No, that's good.
I just go right into the criticism.
It's
we talked
stuff,
about it.
Actually.
Well, that was bringing your egg in.
No, that was it. Yeah, that's it. If we can put all together, we all get high, play golf, and I'll put napkins on in the 19th hole there. All right, Bedard, anything else while we're at it?
No, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. I mean, I would like to see Bill split the reps with the ones between the two quarterbacks. I don't have a lot of confidence that that's going to happen, but I'm not overly concerned about what happens in these preseason games. I think that an underrated story, and we didn't touch on it much today.
Well, I mean, seriously, Greg, if you don't count the first month of the regular season, there's no shot at us getting anything.
Again, the real children of the Sports Hub.
Entertainment.
So my point is, I think what's underrated is the 2 weeks between the final preseason game and the season opener that I don't think we've really had this before. The most it's been 10 days. Now it's a full 2 weeks. I really think that Bill Belichick is going to play with that. And we could see a lot of different changes come week one with those 2 weeks behind closed doors.
Awesome. Greg, we look forward to it Tuesdays every week during the football season starting next week, yes?
Sounds good. Well, unless the first month doesn't count, then maybe.
Well, we'll just call them like, you know, glorified exhibitions. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, Greg.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks so much. Unless we play Sound of You sooner from your podcast and make fun of it. Here comes some Red Sox talk.
Who wants a nail?
Nice team you got there, Stu. We've got some big picture thoughts on the Red Sox. Jones,
they're not done.
Jones apparently has had some kind of Red Sox epiphany.
This
should be good.
Yes.
Like some sort of big picture macro epiphany has come to Adam Jones on the Red Sox. So I can't wait to hear this. We'll get into all of that right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
The safety of our loved ones, it's never been more top of mind. Which is why, for many families, the Drive with Safety app has never been more reassuring.
Phew.
It lets you know where every driver in the family is located. Plus, families that use the Drive with Safety app can save 5% in their auto policy while benefiting from information that can help improve each driver's performance. Ask an independent agent about safety insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.